Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 7th. The voice that read that special verse is Pastor David Hayter, good friend. He serves at the First Church of the Nazarene in Champaign, and he recently attended our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon, along with our special guest on today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, as pastor, as doctor, as conference speaker, as author. Michael Edward Nichols is in the studio with me. And I was so moved, along with all the men and women that joined us last Thursday. In fact, it was funny. Two different people approached me and said, look, nobody's left. And they said, a year ago, 2 years ago, when we started this, within a minute, almost everyone had left the room. This time, nobody left the room. In fact, I was kind of fumbling through my words at the very end as I was closing out, because nobody got up, not a single person. They stayed in the seat. I think they were just overwhelmed by the topic. I think they were thinking, some healing was taking place. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Nichols to walk us a little bit through his message this past Thursday at the Ministry Leaders Network. It was titled Healed Pastors Heal People, but he took us through some of his journey. So Michael, how do you want us to introduce you to the radio listening family? Aside from being a free agent for Jesus, you currently serve as a pastor at two different churches. And what else would you like our listeners to know about you?
The short form would be just that I've done about four things, I guess. A youth pastor, was a missionary in Congo for 10 years, and then I was a professor at Lincoln Christian University for 27 years, and been being a pastor for seven, and I loved all those jobs. In some ways, I did the same job in all of them. I just kind of had different titles. Married, got three kids, all been born in a different country. They're all married and have four grandchildren, and turned 65 recently, and God's been still teaching me things, and I just love the opportunity to talk to the pastors, and on Thursday, shared from my heart.
I highlighted a book that you wrote called Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. And I think that was probably a couple of years ago I had you in to talk about that. In fact, I had a vision of having you on a number of times, maybe walking through different chapters. Each of the chapters are about five or six or maybe seven or so pages with some life application questions. I've read through the book twice, and it's on my bedstand. And many nights I'll just read a chapter and then fall asleep. But I love the topic, living for what matters during our few days on earth, because life is short. And are we living purposeful? Are we living with the end in mind that we're all going to die? And so let's make this day matter. And you have different topics, real great, interesting short chapters on different things like life is too short to sleep through it, or the beloved life, or the confessing life, or the forgiving life, the learning life, and seize those moments. So I appreciate this book. In fact, I think you almost sold out. You brought in a bunch of copies. So if our listener is interested in this book, Short Life, how could they acquire one?
Yeah, they could just get it off of Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anything like that. But I appreciate your, I don't know if it's best to say it's going to put you to sleep, Mark, like you did, but it is a book that I really took me about 10 years. It was all life lessons that God has taught me. And probably the biggest theme that pulls the whole book together is just the fact that we don't know how long we're going to be on the earth. Nobody knows. And thinking about your death more, and it sounds morbid to tell people to think about their death, but death can teach us how to live, and it can motivate us with whatever few days we have left to do, to live for what matters. So I really felt God led me in writing the book, and he's been using it in different places, and I appreciate you mentioning it today.
The book is titled Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth, by Michael Edward Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S. I highly recommend this book. I think you'll be very blessed by it. And I know David, Pastor David, you attended last Thursday, and you, like all the men and women that were here, it was quiet in this room. I think people were soaking in as many stories and illustrations, and I knew because of an interview I had in the past with Dr. Nichols that he can be very transparent and very open. And I think many people were processing the information and nodding their heads or taking in his recommendations about inviting Jesus into our minds and hearts as we think through some of the hurts or the struggles or the heartaches. And so did you have a takeaway before I asked Dr. Nichols to talk through some of those topics?
Yeah, I think it was everybody deals with trauma. And so to hear someone who is actively walking through that, it draws people in and you kind of resonate with that. And I think you're right. People were processing it. They were kind of feeling how it worked in their life. And I know for me specifically, it was one of those where it just was the realization of needing to deal with it. He talked about if you don't transform it, then you will transmit it. And that was really powerful. You know, I don't want to transmit any hurt that I have. So I need to allow God, sometimes through the help of others, to transform that into a healing process that can be used by him.
Yeah, and if you could take us through some of those, because I think the first one that you were sharing about imagining Jesus not just hugging us, patting us on the back, but embracing us in such a way that he's lifting us up, that he's carrying us. Yeah. Walk through what you were sharing, your intent with these men and women this past Thursday.
Yeah, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share what I was learning in my counseling journey, and I'm halfway through it. My presenting problem was five major losses I've had in my life, and I thought, I haven't really processed the grief, and my counselor was so wise. She just said, Mike, let's go back to your childhood, and let's talk about your family of origin. And we were able to focus on three areas in my life that were very traumatic. One was physical abuse that I received from my own father. And another one was a period of sexual abuse that happened when I was a junior high boy. And then the third one was when I was just beginning high school, some verbal and emotional abuse that once again came from my father. So I was very transparent with that with my counselor, and she had these techniques where she would help me to imagine going back into the childhood event and bringing Jesus into the event. So each one, I wish I had time to share all of it, but basically that first one with the physical abuse when I was 7 years old, I had this scene in my mind of Jesus sitting, kind of kneeling, and I was sitting on the bed. I was like 65 years old, and my little 7-year-old person, you know, we all carry this person inside of us, and I've got my arm around him, and I have compassion for little Mike, who is 7, who is physically abused by his dad. And Jesus comes in and kneels, and he puts his arms around both of us, and his eyes are just full of tears. And I'd never had a vision of Jesus crying for me. And so I have that now, and I'll always have that. And then when I was 11 was when the sexual abuse happened, and there was a family friend named John who actually was a pastor also, but I'd never thought of Jesus crying for me. But then that one, I felt so dirty. When you're dealing with sexual abuse, you're so confused, you don't know what's going on, and I was feeling so dirty and shameful. And once again, Jesus, through the help of my counselor, he's saying, Mike, you are clean. You're not dirty. You're clean. And then the third one was verbal and emotional abuse from my father. And I actually envisioned Jesus in my imagination with the help of my counselor, Jesus coming into that scene where my dad's yelling at me. And he's saying things like, Mike, just do what I say. Don't think. And I, as a child, I thought, well, I must be too stupid to even think. And as I brought Jesus into that memory, he's telling my dad to back off. Mm-hmm. And that he's treating me wrong. And my dad's a pastor. My dad listens to Jesus in that memory. But I'd never had a scene in my life where Jesus was protecting me from my own dad. And so I shared with the group that day those real tangible imaginations that I was given as a gift. And some very deep healing happened in my childhood Mike that I carry around inside of me. And it's changed a lot of things. Like I actually haven't liked myself for a very long time. And I'm beginning now to like myself. And so I've got work to do still. I still have some grieving process to do. I feel like I'm partway through my healing journey, but I shared those with the group. And I asked everybody, do they have a picture of Jesus, like they holding them or crying for them or maybe protecting them from some abuser in their life or even just saying you are clean. So that was what I was challenging. And I could tell everybody was thinking, because I think a lot of people have childhood memories that they have not processed yet. And Jesus has not touched yet.
Yeah, and I think as you walked everyone through that, like you said, it was very quiet, very contemplative. And I think they were trying to picture what the counselor took you through. And she was a Christian counselor, very gifted and able to use a biblical worldview. But as she walked you through it, you were helping, I think, all of us also walk through, do we have a picture of Jesus coming to us literally embracing us, and not just an embrace of a hug, but lifting us up, caring for us. I think many of us were probably saying, I don't think I've ever imagined Jesus just carrying me and embracing me in such a loving, tender way.
Yeah. And I just feel like that's the key. And I know it sounds like a Sunday school answer, but getting to the depth of how much Jesus loves you and being tangible, that he really does love you at that level. And he loves you as much on your worst day as on your best day. And it is unconditional love. And if you can grab that and embrace that, and then I felt like it was such a gift through the counseling process that I have these scenes in my mind now, and I can honestly go back to those scenes when I start to have those old lies come up that, Mike, you're stupid or incompetent, or Mike, you're dirty for thinking there or looking at that picture, and you start going down a shame spiral. And it's like, wait a minute, I have this picture that's truth. This isn't just imagination. It's actually imagining truth. And so I just feel like those are all gifts to me right now, and I will carry them with me, I think, until I die.
Mm-hmm. And some of this was triggered because your wife kind of challenged you.
Yes.
You're not happy. You don't appear very happy. And so, listening friend, maybe we're scratching where you itch, or maybe there's something that you're feeling like, I think I'm supposed to be tuned into this program. I think God may use it to maybe awaken in me some misunderstandings I have, or some preconceived notions that I'm worthless or nobody cares about me. Allow Mike some of his own personal story, because his wife kind of challenged him. Was that an aha moment?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think most married men, they have those moments with their wives when they look at them and they say something. You know, I think that was from the Holy Spirit directly. And and she just, maybe she was just tired of my grumbling and feeling like life's a burden. And I feel like we have a choice. You know, we can look at life as a burden, or we can look at life saying, you know, I'm a blessed man. And I've actually been trying to answer that question when people say, Mike, how are you doing today? I've been trying to honestly say, I'm blessed, because I am a blessed man. But at that point, I think Julie, my wife, had just been kind of tired of me moping around, and she could tell I wasn't my best self. And she just looked me in the eye and said, Mike, you haven't been happy for a very long time. And she didn't say it with harshness. It was just love in her voice and concern for me. And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit said, you haven't been happy for a long time. Mm-hmm. You need help. And I told the pastors Thursday, I said, we pastors are the worst at this, because we help everybody else, and we're always helping everybody else. And that's our calling. You know, we're the fixers, you know, but nobody fixes us, and we need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And of course, that passage that we started out with today in the radio show here just was, it's so true. If we receive that comfort at a deep level, then that prepares us for ministry, to minister to someone else. And so, yeah, when Julie asked me that, I started doing a personal inventory, and I came up with 5 losses that I'd had since 2015, and they're major losses, some deaths, some relationships, losing a job, and I thought, maybe that's it. I've just stacked these losses on top of each other, and I've never taken the time to process them and really work the grief out. And so that's when I went into the counselor, and I had to wait for a while to get on her list. And I know that sometimes you have to wait, but it's worth it. And I waited, and I got on her, finally on her list, and I started meeting with her weekly. And I told Julie after the first session, I wish I had done this 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I really do wish I'd done it 40 years ago. So I just challenged everybody to, you know, I mentioned how we break our leg and we have no problem going to the hospital or through the ER and have a doctor look at it and set our leg or something. But what if we have unresolved emotional issues and maybe even unresolved childhood trauma? What are we going to do with those? And there are people in the body of Christ who are specially trained. And my daughter's one. My daughter's been a counselor for 15 years. And one of her favorite questions she asks people, she said, what are you going to do with your pain? Because we all have pain. What are you going to do with it? And so many of us are just numbing it and ignoring it and burying it and hiding from it. And I just feel like God is calling, especially pastors right now, he's calling us out of hiding. It's time to stop hiding. It's time to come out. And I said that God doesn't shame us for our shame. Mm-hmm. We feel ashamed about our brokenness, either the sins against us or the sins we've committed. But until we come to the Lord and realize he doesn't want to shame us, he wants to heal us. Mm-hmm. And he wants to go into all those memories and heal all of them and use them for his glory. And so to me, that's the coolest thing about that passage in 2 Corinthians is your afflictions, your pain can be made into credentials for ministry and just prepare you for ministry. And that's exciting when that happens.
Yeah, your topic last Thursday was healed pastors heal people. But I liked how you also flipped it and said hurt pastors, or for this matter, for our listeners, hurt people hurt people.
Yep.
And I just think that many of us have baggage that maybe is unresolved or we haven't dealt with issues. And yes, we know God loves us and he cares for us, but maybe we haven't experienced that at that deep level where healing has to take place, because maybe we're acting out with sarcasm or there's other issues unresolved. And so it comes out in different ways, like with anger or loud screaming or careless words or whatever. It's not always maybe a physical act that we do onto somebody, but you really walked us through. And I love this passage. I know we opened up with Pastor Dave Hader sharing it, but it's praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. And you've experienced that compassion of God even through this counselor, but we all need to cling to the fact that God is a compassionate God and the God of all comfort. He provides comfort, who comforts all of us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And you said it was like a full circle passage. I love that because it's kind of complete. It conveys everything that we need to know about God.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's interesting that a lot of times our greatest ministry will come right out of our greatest pain if we allow God to comfort us. And we want to hide it. We want to forget that chapter of our life. We want to lock it in a box and not think about it again. But God says, no, I want. And so for me, even with my father, and I've forgiven my father, and I had a better relationship with my father when he was older. And so I'm not trying to rip on my father, but he really did abuse us boys when we were in his household, and it put a mark on me. But I know now what it's like to not have a loving father. And that has been turned into a ministry for me. My radar is always up for someone who doesn't have a loving father. And we have a fatherless epidemic in our country. And I just know there's so many. And I want to call the church to say, hey, it's time for us to be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Man, we're so needed everywhere. But you need to get yourself healed first. You know, you got to make sure that you're comforted so that you can comfort others. But that's an example of, in my own life, being a spiritual father to young people. A lot of them I met when I was a professor. I still meet young people that don't have good fathers. Now I could call myself good grandpas too, for people too. I'm 65. But I just feel like that's an example of God taking a young man who didn't have a loving father. He knows what it feels like. He knows what that hurt and pain is like. God is healing him, and now he's ready to be a father to somebody else. So I think everybody has areas in their life that if they give it to the Lord and allow him to touch and heal it, he will make it into their ministry.
Pastor Nichols, I'm just thinking, you know, we have 19 frequencies. So many times people are searching for the next rock and roll song or the country western channel or whatever it is their preferred music, and they land on one of our 19 frequencies, and they don't have this concept of this loving God, our Father who art in heaven. It's a prayer that many of us will pray each and every day. And so they don't connect with this Father God, this wonderful Father image. What would you say to them as they're struggling? How can there be a caring dad? I was abandoned when I was a young child. I was abused by my father. When they pray Father God, they can't even imagine that being a good thing.
Well, that's a big question, and I don't know if I have a definitive answer, but I know that I grew in my theology when I became a dad myself. And when I had my own kids and I began to think about how I felt on their birthday or how I felt on Christmas, and I wanted to give them a good gift, and I thought, where does that come from? That comes from God. God is a good father who wants to give us good gifts. So just becoming a dad helped heal my view of loving father. And then watching for examples of loving fathers, I think you can learn as much from a bad example as a good example. And I think when I look at the way my dad raised our kids, I think, man, that I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to do that. But then to find others that are loving fathers and say, okay, this is possible. So both my own becoming a father, I think it was a journey of healing, but then looking for it in other people. And I just feel like it's a lie from the pit of hell to say, well, since you didn't have this, then you can't minister in that area. And I think maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you have the motivation because you know what it's like not to have a loving father. And now you have this chance to learn what it's like and to pass it on to other people.
And I know I've shared this over the air probably many times, but we always have to be careful we don't indict God the Father, Almighty, Sovereign God, who's holy, in one sense is unapproachable, and in another sense, he's so caring and loving and full of grace and mercy, he can be called Daddy God. That's what Jesus referred to. When you said our Father, it's like Daddy. It's a very personal word, but we got to be careful that if we've had bad examples of dads on earth here, not to think of God in those terms. David, I'm going to have you close our time in prayer, because maybe we've stirred up in some people's minds and hearts some issues that haven't been resolved, or maybe they're just struggling with a healthy concept of who God is, or they never had a dad. They don't know who their dad is, or for whatever reason, there's probably things in between, from great dads that still weren't there for their 16th birthday, or they still carry some baggage or hurt or pain, that you would ask God to work through some of the things that Pastor Nichols has said, to maybe that person that loves God and today they just need to be encouraged by this testimony that God continues to be at work and revealing himself through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So anything else that you'd want to say before you close our time in prayer?
I think as Pastor Mike was talking, and he talked about Jesus embracing us as he was on the bed and Jesus was weeping, I thought about Jesus didn't weep for him. And Jesus doesn't weep for us, but he weeps with us. Mm. It's that part of shouldering that burden is him coming in and feeling that pain. And so if there's pain or trauma, that Jesus isn't sitting at a distance crying in sympathy for you, but he's weeping with you with compassion and empathy and embracing you. And you're not alone in that. I thought that was really powerful. Mm. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning as we gather and we remember what happened last week with the Pastors and Leaders Network there in Champaign and the healing that you brought through the testimony of Pastor Nichols. And for those that are listening that are just in a place where maybe they don't understand what it means to have a loving father, I pray that you would reveal yourself in a way that they would understand that there is a God, a father who loves them more than anything else in this world. And there's nothing that we can do to earn that love. There's nothing we can do to remove that love, that it is there and it is constant from before time began. And for those of us who maybe have a relationship with you and we've been walking with you for a while and we're just needing that encouragement or that reminder, I pray that you would just wrap your loving arms around us, as Pastor Mike said, and not just in a pat on the back kind of way, but in an all-embracing, lifting up, joy-loving way that just we just feel the embrace of a Godfather who loves us. And I pray that if there's trauma or hurt or heartache right now, from anybody who's listening today or in the future, that you would be present, that you would move and work through compassion and empathy to heal that, to help us to know that whether it was committed by somebody or ourselves, that you are there to heal it and to use it for the kingdom, that we don't have to live in that hurt and heartache, but you can transform that hurt and heartache into something joyful and to something good. We believe that you are working all things for the good of the kingdom. And so, God, we just pray this morning that for everybody who's listening, that you would just be present. God, that your love would abound and overflow, that the embrace of Jesus Christ would just be felt by everybody who's listening, and we would just feel your love this morning and that it would transform us to be more like you. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.